The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, August 19th through Sunday, August 25th, 2024. The commentary for August was written by Chris Medor, who lives with her husband in Santa Fe, New Mexico, where they are members of a bilingual parish, St. Bede's Episcopal Church. They have two adult children. Retired from law practice, Chris has turned her attention to local food ministries and teaching English as a second language. The commentary for Monday, August 19th, begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 49b through 50. "What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things?" Here's the commentary. Solomon built God a house, but that does not mean God only lives there. God will not be contained in a space built by human hands. While I am sure that many cathedrals have been divinely inspired, we mostly admire them today as monuments to human achievement. So where exactly does God live? The short answer is anywhere and everywhere. Heaven is God's throne, and we know for a time that God inhabited a tent in the desert built to exact specifications. Temples and churches are spaces of human design, places where we can worship God, perhaps without distraction. Although we can worship God anywhere, we often confine God to a space we call church. We do not take God with us when we leave the building. We fail to let God dwell within us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, we hear, "God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them." We do not try to confine our love to one place. Neither should we abide with God only in church. And now I'm going to read this full passage from the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 44, through chapter 8, verses 1a. "Our ancestors had the tent of testimony in the wilderness, as God directed when he spoke to Moses, ordering him to make it according to the pattern he had seen. Our ancestors in turn brought it in with Joshua, when they dispossessed the nations that God drove out before our ancestors. And it was there until the time of David, who found favor with God and asked that he might find a dwelling place for the house of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. Yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made with human hands, as the prophet says, 'Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool.' What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things? You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you are forever opposing the Holy Spirit, just as your ancestors used to do. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the Righteous One. And now you have become his betrayers and murderers. You are the ones that received the law as ordained by angels, and yet you have not kept it." When they heard these things, they became enraged and ground their teeth at Stephen. And the moving forward question for this Monday, August 19th, is God living in your house? The commentary for Tuesday, August 20th, begins with a passage from Psalm 127, verses 4 and 5. Children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a gift. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. In the time of David, children were considered a gift of security against the enemies of the parents. Most of us today are not thinking about protection or economic security when we have our children. I see my own as my legacy, which also makes me responsible for the world I leave to them. We are the stewards of God's resources and caretakers of this heritage, but our time on earth is finite, and I may not be around to see the impact of my poor decisions. Living in the high desert has made me keenly aware of how much and how often I use water. Many of the resources I take for granted are becoming scarce and divided unfairly. So how do I begin to correct the damage I have wrought on earth to protect the heritage for all children? I pray for the strength and courage to act in sacrificial ways, showing love for my neighbor and for all the fruits of God's creation. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the guards keep watch in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives sleep to his beloved. Sons are indeed a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, how hopeful are you for God's children? Are you doing your part to secure their heritage? The commentary for Wednesday, August 21st, begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. When Jesus questions Philip about feeding the crowd, the disciples throw out some ideas and then promptly reject them. "It would take a fortune, and there are too many of us." This reminds me of some team meetings I have attended. We only brainstorm solutions inside the box. While not every problem requires a miracle, I sometimes forget the possibility of unimaginable solutions. When Jesus asks Philip, he opens the door for an imaginative, faithful response. I feel like Jesus often asks me the same question, especially because I tend to compartmentalize problems between what I can manage and what requires divine intervention. But the world is not divided between human and godly domains. And bringing God into the solution is not a sign of weakness. In my arrogance or shame, I failed to pray for answers. Struggle and failure remind me that God is greater than I am, and that I should never hesitate to ask for guidance. And now I'm going to read this full gospel passage from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. And now the moving forward question for this Wednesday. Do you have a problem you have neglected to pray about? And are you really ready to act on what is God's will? Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, August 22nd. It begins with a passage from the book of Job in the Old Testament, chapter 1, verse 11. "But stretch out your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." The book of Job explores some complex moral themes. When Satan challenges Job's authentic faithfulness to God because of Job's prosperity, God allows Satan to bring Job tragedy. Job suffers significant loss. What happens to our faith when bad things happen? When we lose a job or fail to thrive? Although I met my husband in law school, my work was always the second career in our family. Very often I failed to get the interview, the offer, the promotion, or the contract. While his career prospered, mine suffered. Job recognized that God gave him everything he had, and that those things were God's to take away. Nowhere are we promised only good things from the hand of God. We live in a broken world full of suffering and injustice. While we may feel angry and frustrated at our losses, God is faithful. Great loss gets my attention and enables me to experience the fullness of God's love. Now I'm going to read from this full passage of Job, chapter 1, verses 1 through 22. "There was once a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and very many servants, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. His sons used to go and hold feasts in one another's houses in turn, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the feast days had run their course, Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' This is what Job always did. One day, the heavenly beings came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, 'Where have you come from?' Satan answered the Lord, 'From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down on it.' The Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil.' Then Satan answered the Lord, Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not put a fence around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand now, and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, Very well, all that he has is in your power, only do not stretch out your hand against him. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day, when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, The oxen were plowing, and the donkeys were feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell on them and carried them off, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword. I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another came and said, The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another came and said, The Chaldeans formed three columns, made a raid on the camels, and carried them off, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword. I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another came and said, Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came across the desert, struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job rose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell on the ground and worshipped. He said, Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrongdoing. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, August 22nd, is, how do you manage suffering? Are you able to experience God's love in the midst of it all? The commentary for Friday, August 23rd, begins with a passage from John chapter 6, verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Early followers of Jesus were often persuaded that he was the Messiah because he performed miracles, feeding crowds and healing the sick. Many in our communities today need this healing as hunger and homelessness persist. Many inner-city parishes have extensive ministries with the unhoused. My home church in Santa Fe works hard to stock the shelves of our little food pantry. Yet we continue to be distracted by perishable things, and God knows it. For this reason, God sent Jesus, the true bread of heaven. It is almost too simple to wrap our heads around the fact that the way to eternal life is to believe in the one who was sent. We are fed, sheltered, and healed by the Son of Man. We, the believers, perform these miracles every day. We fill the food pantry shelves. We support and volunteer at shelters. We visit the sick and advocate for affordable health care. When we can assist in lifting life's burdens for others, we share in the food that endures. And now I'm going to read from this passage of the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 27 through 40. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, What must we do to perform the works of God? Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, I am the bread of life. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. And the moving forward question for this Friday, August 23rd, is what are the challenges of your faith community, and how can you work to bring your community food that endures? Now let's turn to the commentary for Saturday, August 24th. It is the day on which we observe the feast day of St. Bartholomew the Apostle. It begins with a passage from Psalm 91, verse 2. You are my refuge and my stronghold, my God, in whom I put my trust. A refuge is a shelter or protection from danger. For most of us, our home is the place where we feel protected and take refuge. I remember fondly my little dorm room at a mission in Costa Rica that measured 6 feet by 10 feet. At first, I was alarmed by its sparsity, but soon it became my sanctuary. As with many properties in Central America, the compound I lived in was walled and guarded. I was comforted by the friendly guards. They held the keys and kept watch all night. I trusted them, and at the end of 4 months, I went home. A refugee is a person who flees for refuge or safety. They seek refuge from places where they are not safe. They cannot return home. Mercifully, God is our stronghold, providing refuge to both travelers and refugees. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Psalm 91. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, My refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Those who love me I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. And the moving forward passage for this Saturday is, how can you find empathy for the stranger, the unhoused person, or the refugee? And as we near the end of this program and the end of the week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, August 25th, the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. It begins with a passage from Psalm 84, verse 4. Happy are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on the pilgrim's way. During Holy Week in northern New Mexico, thousands of pilgrims make their way to a small town, a mountain town off the high road to Taos called Kimeo. Many walk the 60 miles from Albuquerque over several days. Some pilgrims are carried, others pushed in wheelchairs, all headed to El Santuario de Kimeo, an important site for spiritual healing, first inhabited by the Pueblo Indians and later the Spanish. Modern pilgrims carry crosses and mementos of loved ones who cannot make the journey. There are healing services in the sanctuary and in an adjoining space, photos and testimonials of people who received healing covering the walls. On my first visit to Kimeo, I gathered the soil from a sacred space in the sanctuary to bring as a token of healing to my sister. She was losing her battle with cancer. Although her journey ended, mine continues. I am strengthened by the faith of other pilgrims and happy in the knowledge we are headed in the same direction. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, August 25th, how might a pilgrimage strengthen you? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our hearts' longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.